very, very sad. I was on the train, somebody texted me to let me know what had happened. I mean, she hadn't been well for some time, but I saw Craig Cash, who's worked very closely over the years with Caroline. And I saw Craig about months ago, and he mentioned that Caroline's cancer had spread, but said, you know, she was doing okay. So, you know, I rather thought it settled down. So it was a heck of a shock. It really was, because, you know, people said, and they, you know, they bandy the term around, but she definitely was. You know, if she'd only ever done Mrs. Merton, or only ever done the Royal Family, or only ever done those sketches she did with John Thompson on the Fast Show, for any one of those three things, she'd be considered, you know, a comic genius. But to have done all that was just phenomenal. I mean, really, really great. And it's a great loss, because, I mean, she's a great actress as well. And I, you know, she's 52 years old. I think rather like Victoria Wood. Went into straight roles. You know, did a few actual straight plays afterwards. I think Caroline, despite being comically brilliant, I think could have been a great straight actress as well.
You're quite right, and I think she didn't really like the fame of it. I mean, even just before sort of Mrs. Merton became, you know, as big as she did, she was sort of thinking about giving it all up and doing car boot sales.
Yeah, I mean, she was never comfortable with fame. I mean, to be honest, she, like a lot of people, you know, she wanted success. She wanted fame. She was, in a way, she came up with that generation in Manchester, like Steve Coogan and John Thompson, Dave Gorman, John Ronson, you know, in the writing field, all that sort of thing. So she was sort of Manchester comic royalty, if you like. And she did aspire. There's no doubt about it. She was very ambitious, and she aspired to all those things. And to have the sort of fame that Steve Coogan had. But when she got it, you know, she wasn't happy with all the attention she got, the tabloids and all that.
Mm. She revolutionised two genres of comedy with the sitcom, yeah. and the chat show, because the things that she was doing with her writing and the characters she was playing, we'd never actually seen on British TV before.
No, it was great. I mean, in the chat show, she sort of disarmed the guests with her sweet smile and being the little old lady. She couldn't really have done that if she'd done it just in her own character. Myself and as a producer at Yorkshire Telly, a guy called Dave Behrens, we made a little pilot TV show, which sort of, it was her calling card. And a lot of people at the time, we took it round to a few TV producers, and they all said, oh, well, it's too much like Dame Edna Everage. But it wasn't. You know, they didn't really recognise it. It's a completely different character. It was sort of based on some little old lady who might be standing at a bus stop. You know, Caroline was a great observer of all those sort of things. And the fact that she was being as a character mentioned, I mean, I heard you play that clip, which has been played quite a bit over the weekend, of the Debbie McGee interview. Although we rarely hear the first half of that. You know, nobody played the bit that you played at the start about his stunts and all that sort of stuff, which was great. It was really great to hear that, because she did have a wicked, rude sense of humour. And in the pilot show that we did, which we recorded bizarrely at Meadow Hall Shopping Centre in Sheffield, Yorkshire Telly had a little studio there. We recorded it there, and I just rounded up mates for her to interview, and she interviewed Chris Donald, who was the editor of Viz. And this comic at the time had just taken off. It was like a huge success. And she said to Chris Donald, in that Caroline Ahern, Mrs. Merton way, she said, well, Chris, you've been a great success, but what do your parents think of this dirty, filthy magazine you produce? And it was all said with a great smile, you know. And to Andy and Liz Kershaw, she said, well, you're a real-life brother and sister. And you've neither of you got a very nice voice, but you're on the radio. How's that happened? And it was just, you know, she would just take the mickey of people. And it was tremendous stuff. And I knew it was always going to take off. But it did take a bit of time, you know, before people saw just how brilliant she was. And she had that wicked sense of humour. It's very hard to think about Caroline without smiling. You know, I mean, it's sad and it's shocking news and so young, but you know, you just can't think of her without smiling.
When was the first time that you'd met Caroline? Because she was involved in one of your radio shows for a little while as well.
Yes, I mean, that's how we first started. I met Caroline, big sort of late 80s, I think, mid to late 80s. I was doing a Radio 2 late show from Manchester, and she was working as a production secretary on things like Question of Sport and other shows that came from Manchester. And she came into the studio and brought me a tape. And it was basically a tape of her doing a radio show. But at the time, it was rather too similar to Radio 2. She was taking the mickey, but now she was taking the mickey to the Radio 2 listeners. For instance, she played, I always remember this, the first tune she played on the tape was Eddie Calvert. There's one for the teenagers. Eddie Calvert, the man with the golden trumpet. And she played the song, said, "That's Eddie Calvert there. He's dead at the moment." And, you know, it was sort of too close to home, really. So we invented this thing whereby she would just answer people's problems. And we did it on Radio 2, and then I did it on a show I did for BBC Local Radio and people. So, you know, we did it as a problem page thing. So we'd make up lists from people. And some people have put a few of those things on YouTube as well. Very funny. We just sort of rattled along, and she was just brilliant.
Yeah, she certainly was. You look at sort of things like the Far Show, and Joe touched on it, and you look at like the Royal Family, and the Royal Family was, I don't know, it was just like a breath of fresh air for sitcoms in this country. And you watch it back now, and it really did break the mold, because it was just a few people sat on sofas watching TV. It should not have worked, Martin.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the genius of it, was that, you know, Caroline went in somewhere and pitched that to TV. You know, "I've got this idea." It's a bit like Seinfeld, you know, "We've got this idea, it's a show about nothing." She said, "We've got this idea, it's a show about these people who sit around and watch telly," and got it made. I mean, that in itself is genius. I mean, fortunately, in fairness, she did work with a lot of other people, like Henry Normal, who's now David Cow, one of Steve Coogan's production company. So she worked with a lot of smart people. There was almost like a generation of Manchester comics coming up at that stage. People like Steve Coogan and John Thompson. And she worked, Dave Gorman was another one. She worked with a lot of these people. So that probably helped to get it made. And thank God it did get made, because even if you watch it now on Dave or Dave Plus One or whatever, well, you never know. You flip round, don't you, at night, and all of a sudden you come across an episode of the Royal Family and think, "Oh, I watched this," and you watch it again, and has it aged not a bit? It's just still brilliant.
It really, really is. You bring up Steve Coogan. He's paid tribute to Caroline, saying, "I loved her. She used to make me cry with laughter. This is the first time she's made me cry without laughing." And I think a lot of people are feeling that same way. Martin, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really lovely to chat to you. Thanks, Martin.
Cheers,
man. Hello. Clásicos de para dos, mi etrology a vale por dos. Scorchio. Mi niño cuñatera anterior. Scorchio, minia cuñatera exterior, Scorchio, Monte Blanco, Scorchio, Costa, Scorchio, Meteorologicos mañana, oh, Scorchio, Bono Esten.